Good morning, good morning. No, it's not always morning. This is the old Trailblazer. Sometimes it's in the early morning that we come out here bringing these messages, and for a long time it was early in the morning, but now we're on stations all over the country, and sometimes it's at night and sometimes in the afternoon. So I'm happy to be with you folks. This is the old Trailblazer, Pastor Albert Pendarvis, pastor here at Radio Mission, pastor of the First Baptist Church of Algiers, formerly located in New Orleans, Louisiana, where Pastor L.R. Shelton was the pastor and the founder for many, many years. He was the pastor there. And now we've moved out of New Orleans ever since Katrina. The Lord went before us, and we bought property and built a new building, new chapel, and a new bookstore. And now we're going on day by day, getting out the gospel. And one of the facets of our gospel ministry is the old Trailblazer. Just the old Trailblazer. Many years ago, back in their 50s and early 60s, Pastor Shelton had this little broadcast called the Old Trailblazer. He always aspired to be a trailblazer. He wanted to go, he told me several times, into the jungles of South America and beat out a path and preach the gospel to those people and call himself an old trailblazer. And he had all the sound effects of old Dan walking and clippity-clopping. He had the sound effects of a boat when he went down to the bayou. He had the sound effects when he went by the schoolhouse and talked to the students. All of those things, it made a very interesting. But we don't have all those. We just have old Dan. And folks write me and send me a check for $100. Say, get old Dan a sack of feed. So you folks, I praise the Lord for every one of you who listen. You may think the old Trailblazer's an old kook, but I'm just bringing you God's message. I have folks call me and say, you may be an old kook, Pastor, but keep on preaching the gospel. So we're bringing you these series of studies have been. We're coming down close to the end on demon possession. Now, I know this is foreign to many of our folks. Many I've spoken to, they say, what do you mean by demon possession? We don't have that today, do we? Yes, we do. And I've given you, thus saith the Lord, how that Satan is on his throne here in this earth. He's the god of this world, going forth seeking whom he may devour or intimidate or keep you from hearing the gospel. Did you know Satan is on my shoulder here in this little studio, sitting right here? He may jump around, get up on the shelf up here where he can see me, and I can't swat him off with the back of the book. But he's right here. Just so is the Holy Spirit here with me. And the Bible tells us to resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Are you resisting the devil? I know I've told you many times, several times. We go over there on the Gulf Coast. We go over to Mobile to preach on Sunday night sometime. And going down that coast highway, I counted 17 billboards advertising one of those casinos over there on the coast. 17 of them. And every one of them has an enticing message. They have pretty girls there with scantily dressed. All of those things are Satan's tools, my friend. Oh, and then to go there in that casino and lose all your paycheck and come home broke and have a fight with your wife, because those are Satan's, that's Satan's territory, my friend. But the Bible says resist that. And my prayer is, I have folks listening all over the country, even in Africa and Asia, on shortwave, WWCR there in Nashville, Tennessee. And I have folks who write me and tell me, Pastor, you've been an inspiration to us. You give us God's message. But I tell those folks, look to the Lord. Don't search out the evil ways of the world. All of that's of Satan. And we're bringing you these studies. Perhaps, maybe you'll see something. But we're looking now in the evidence. We started in our last broadcast giving you some evidences of that individual who's been born again, who's been filled with the Holy Spirit. But listen, that individual is taken up with the Lord. Then that individual who is saved, been born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, find thanksgiving, something to thank the Lord for in everything that he does. I tell my folks here, my local folks in my congregation, many of you may have heard me, I asked you, when you get up in the morning, I don't care if you live in a shanty or a shack down on the bayou, or whether you live in a penthouse there on Canal Street, I don't care where you live, what your social standing is, but when you put your feet on the floor in the morning, sit on the side of bed. I believe we all do that. I know I do. Kind of get bearings. My bearings were what pants I'm going to put on or what shirt I'm going to get and sit there on the bed. Take time out and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Every born-again believer has a thankful heart. You see someone that's always contentious, never happy, never ever able to praise the Lord. That individual's not saved. You say, well, it's the, you judging? No. The Lord tells us to judge a tree by the fruit it bears. It does. The Bible does. But listen, that individual is always giving thanks. He never gets tired of thanking the Lord, first of all, for saving an old sinner like him. I mentioned in the message last night here in the chapel, how can we understand, how can we reconcile that the Lord would pick out an old sinner like me, like the old trailblazer, just an old ragamuffin, just an old country boy, born out here in the sticks, no education to speak of, just barely got along. My mother and dad worked hard on a dirt farm and brought us up, five of us children, and then the Lord chose me, chose your pastor, the old trailblazer. Why did the Lord do that? Because of his distinguishing grace. And then another thing, the Bible says in Ephesians 5:21, speaking of the believer, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Paul says, honor or prefer one another. The individual filled with the Holy Spirit is humble, easily entreated. Now let's go back and blow that myth out of your thinking. You've seen, no doubt, individuals who tell you that they're born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about that poor old soul who's been awakened to his lost condition. Struggle hard with sin. Struggle hard, crying out day unto day because the Lord has shown him what a wretched sinner he is, what a deceitful heart he has, and all of those things. And over time, the Lord brings him on down the way of grace and saves that individual. Someone has said, the Lord will slip up on your blind side and save you. And you'll open your mouth wide and say, my, is that salvation? I've had folks call me, say, brother pastor, they give me a little word or two what happened. They say, is that salvation? I'm just looking to the Lord day by day. Is that salvation? I said, yes, ma'am. And yes, sir, that's what salvation is, trusting the Lord, looking to the Lord, day in and day out, clinging to the Lord. My old friend up there in Tennessee, Brother Carson Needham, clinging to the Lord, just clinging to him. You know how I got that expression? In my front yard here many years ago, I had a big pine tree, pretty good-sized pine tree, and I love flowers, and one year I set out a wisteria. Many of you folks may not know what that is, but it's a beautiful flower. It climbs, and it's got beautiful purple flowers. All of the old antebellum homes down here has got them because they were an important part of the South back in during the days. And then I planted that tree there, that vine, and it started growing immediately, and it began to climb that tree. That tree was about 60, 70 feet tall, and that vine went all the way to the top. And every spring, about what we call Easter time, that time of the year, that tree would bloom the most beautiful blossoms. It looked like a cluster of grapes, only they're purple. And over time, that tree grew, and that vine clung to it, and it cut itself into the bark of that tree. And it gave me this expression, clinging. That vine was clinging to the Lord. And then several years ago, lightning struck that tree and killed it. Killed the tree and killed the wisteria vine. But up until that time, it was clinging to that tree. And that's what God's child does. He clings to the Lord, clings to him in the morning, at night, in the evening, in the daytime, on the job, in the office, always clinging. So me and Brother Carson, we have that saying between us, how you doing, brother? I'm clinging. Just a clinging. Oh, my friend. Then another evidence is power for witnessing for Christ. The Lord gives you a boldness to speak out. You find there in Acts 1:8, ye shall be witnesses unto me. The Lord didn't never save a dumb Christian. He don't save you and then leave you out there where you can't say a word. Oh, you may not be eloquent in speaking. You may not have a large vocabulary, but you don't have to have much to say, you know, fella, Christ died for me. Christ died for this old sinner. Old trailblazer. Christ died for the old trailblazer. My friend, oh, listen, You'll not be talking about your experiences, how that you speaking in tongues and all of those things, your dreams and all. You'll be talking about the Lord. You'll be magnifying the Lord Jesus Christ. As Paul said, whether in life or in death, I magnify Christ. Then, in connection with this evidence found in Acts 4:31, when we were filled with the Holy Spirit, they spake the word of God with boldness. With boldness. After those disciples were filled with the Spirit, they stood before the Sanhedrin court, in the prison house, before kings, and gave their testimony of how God saved them in Christ with the boldness of a lion. They weren't talking about their experience, their vision, their dreams. They were talking about Christ. They were not talking about their church programs. I think I mentioned to you in a study or two back, I saw where one of our local churches had called off 2 Sundays in a row. They called off their Sunday morning service. One of them, one day they had a magic dog, they called it, done all sorts of tricks and invited the public to come. Free, said there's no charge. Won't be no services that day. Then the next Sunday, they had a joke teller. Oh, my friend, a joke teller. What a tragedy. What tragedy. What blasphemy to bring a joke teller to tell jokes into the house of God and that preacher give up his pulpit for 2 Sundays in a row. I'd love to talk to him. I hope he calls me. It's in this local area. I hope he calls me. I wish he would. Then God's child is not talking about those programs and their puppet shows. They're talking about Christ. Before they were filled, they were timid and fearful. And some of us still are, fairly. But after they were filled, they did not love their lives nor try to save themselves from death, but would stand forth and gave their testimony in boldness until it literally amazed the unsaved religion as they magnified the Lord when they addressed him as Lord, not Jesus. The same thing is true today, my friend. Wherever you find a born-again believer filled with the Spirit, they're always giving their testimony in boldness. And I tell my folks here in our prayer services on Sunday night, Saturday afternoon, speak up! You know the Lord? Give him praise. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's where the Pentecostals have it on us. They're not ashamed, my friend. Maybe it's a false boldness, but they're not ashamed to tell what the Lord has done for them and what they say as Jesus. But my friend, the old trailblazers are just giving out what God's word says, how the Lord saves a sinner. And one of these days, I'm going to take time out and just tell you how the Lord saved the old trailblazer. Would you like to do that? If you would, write and tell me. Call me and tell me that. This is the Old Trailblazer Broadcast. Post Office Box 1810, Walker, Louisiana 70785, and my website, radiomissions.org. Until next time, goodbye and God bless you.